The Lord bless each and every one, and we do give everyone a warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. And it's good to have our brother Ben with us and his wife. The Lord bless you, brother. And good to see each one this morning. Praise God. Been doing a study in the book of Daniel, as you know, but this morning I just really felt strong of the Lord to preach on salvation. And I want to try and bring from the Word of God, God's plan of salvation, the simpleness of salvation. And for those maybe that's not saved yet, this is the information you need. And you know, there's a brother from so many brothers around the world, I suppose I know, but some of the different brothers send me different things. And one man sent me a thing about the Pope. I don't know if anyone saw it or not. And the Pope has warned everybody that you should not try and convert nobody. Don't try and convert nobody. And there's a wee clip on there somebody sent me. And you know, Jesus sent them out to spread the good news. That's what they're sent to do. And a Christian needs to tell others about Christ. That's our commission. So, it doesn't surprise me coming from Johnny Red Sox, a statement like that. But I believe the gospel, praise God, is the good news, praise God. And, you know, one time years ago in the Branham Tabernacle, their load of brothers went out, and they came back, they had great meetings, and they were talking about it, and Orman Neville stopped them. And he said to them, brothers, I've one question to ask you. Did you preach the gospel? And they said, we did. And the real message is the real gospel. And the real gospel is the real message.
Amen.
And God's never changed his mind about his word.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to the word of the Lord. And brother, enjoy the singing. And sister, amen. God bless you. And God bless each one this morning. And maybe this evening after church tonight, just remember some prayer. I'm going to see Davey in hospital. He's been having some problems of late. And just trust the Lord will speak to a brother, and even as a brother's mentioned, a brother Edward hasn't been too well. Was meant to fly out to America, isn't that right, brother? And couldn't go because he was ill. So keep a brother Edward in prayer as well, praise God. I want to read from Romans 6, verse 23, and I've marked here memory verse. And I want you to mark this in your Bible as a memory verse. Many of us know these verses, but if you don't know these verses, mark this as a memory verse. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your precious and truth of your word. We pray, Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit, even as we've been praying, will be in our service. We believe you are here. We believe you're moving by your Spirit. We ask that you will confirm your word and that you will get all the praise and all the glory. Bless every hand that's bowed in thy presence. Bless our brother Brian and his precious wife. Lord, may you make them a blessing. They have been a blessing. May you just be with them in a special way. And we pray again for brother Edward that you'll touch him and raise him up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch William as well in Jesus' precious name, and David. Lord, any others that need your touch, and Lord, I pray for the backslidden, that you'll restore them, that you'll renew them, that you'll quicken them. And I pray for the downcast as our brothers pray, that they'll be uplifted in Jesus Christ's name. Now, Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you, Lord, you do, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Now, I know most of us know this, and we're saved, most of us, but I just felt of the Holy Spirit to bring this, and when I feel that, I'm going to do it. Sin is an outward spiritual attitude of rebellion towards God, which is expressed in an outward act of disobedience, and we're all, every one of us, sinners in this way. And by our sinful lives, we rob God of the glory due to God. Our sinful lives rob God of the glory that's due to God, and then we know that sin is followed by three main consequences. Sin, we've read, in their verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So there's wages for sin. So God will not let sin go. And we see the day in the world we're living in, and we see in this country and every country, there's no exception no more, that homosexuality, which is a sin, is boasted and paraded, but God will judge it. Abortion of the unborn baby is a sin. It's a murder. And God will judge it. It will not go unpunished. Now there's three main things here that happen, and I want you to mark them. The first one is inward spiritual death. And any man and any woman that's not actually born again of the Spirit of God is inwardly dead already. They talk about death row, but everyone is on a death row that's not saved, that's not born again, because the Word of God says we are born in sin, and we're sheep in iniquity. We are all dead men and women without Christ's life in us. And we need the life of Jesus Christ in us to birth us. We need to be born again of the Spirit of Almighty God. And Ephesians tells us, you who were dead, hath he quickened. Amen. And that word means made alive. Amen. So every one of us were dead without Jesus Christ. You say, but I'm living. Yes, we're existing. But there is a life beyond this natural life. There is a life that's greater than this natural life we have. And the Bible tells us here in verse 23, that is the gift of God, which is eternal life. Every single man and woman needs this gift of God. Every single man and woman needs this eternal life from God. And I want you to see that you need it. And then I want you to see that it's easy to get. The other thing is the physical death of the body. And you wonder, why do we die? Why does man die? Why does your hair fall out? Why does your hair grow gray? Why do you get wrinkles? Why do you get pains in your knees and pains in your back as you get older and the age comes on? Because death is reigning in these bodies. And there's nothing you can do about that. There's no way you can stop that except the Lord raptures us out of here. Every one of us will go to the grave and will need a resurrection. But there's hope beyond the grave. And there is another life that's eternal life where the soul can never die, but it goes to be with the Lord. So this body, there's a physical death to the body. And you don't know when that physical death could come, whether you're young or whether you're old. You can be struck down at any moment. And the Bible says, beware lest the Lord take you with a stroke and a great ransom can't deliver you. And I'm telling you, people's dropping dead today like never before. They just drop dead. And there's all sorts of conditions in this world that's killing people. Cancer's one of the biggest killers today. And many people are dying because of it. And we need to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The third is final separation from all men and God and a place of darkness and torment. And the man and woman that's not saved can't be for God is and can't be for Jesus is. I remember as a young boy that Ian Paisley preached the great sermons on the five things from the book of Ephesians. And he preached about the man that's godless. And he says, the godless soul is a Christless soul. And because it's a Christless soul, it's a lost soul. And because it's a Christless soul, it's a homeless soul. And because it's a homeless soul and a lost soul, it's a friendless soul. And he went over 5 points of the soul without Christ. And I tell you, there's no friend like the friend Jesus. Every other friend will fail you. Every other friend will let you down. Man at his best is nothing. He's a failure. And everything in this life, there's no good and none, not one, the Bible says. There is none righteous, no, not one. That's the Word of God. That's why God had to send a way. And that way was God's provided way. And God provided way. It's not the Pope of Rome, thank God. And it's not the church. And it's not any. Jesus Christ. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up. And you ever go into that sermon that William Branham preached from that scripture? He preaches a tremendous sermon and he continues throughout the sermon continually. God does not change his mind about his word.
Amen.
So if Jesus had to be lifted up 2,000 years ago, we must lift him up today. We must lift him up tomorrow. Jesus Christ must continually be lifted up and men and women must be pointed to him and him alone. He says, I am the words of eternal life, Jesus said.
Glory.
The words of eternal life for nowhere else, only in Christ. That's why we need to read the word of God. Our brother Simon, we're washed by the water of the word. Jesus Glory. Said that.
Amen.
Jesus says you're clean
yes.
through the words I've spoken
Amen.
To you. The words clean you.
Amen.
The words are purifying. For there's power in the word of God.
Glory. Amen.
God's word's not like a magazine. God's word's not like some ordinary book. But God's word is a supernatural, impregnable, living word of the living God. And God stands over his word. And God watches over his word to perform it and bring it to pass. He says, I will keep an eye on my word and I will bring it to pass. When you get the word of God in your heart, it'll change you. It'll transform you. Christ came to save us from our sins, himself without sin. He took our sins upon himself, died in our place, and rose again from the dead, that we might be saved. Romans 3:23. And look what it says again, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This was God's remedy. This was God's way. When John the Baptist was on the earth, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is God's appointed, taken away of sin. Every one of us has sinned. Every one of us has fallen short. And there's no pope or priest can forgive your sins or remit your sins. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you. There's no other way, for God does not change his mind about it. Sin and its consequences. Let us think of this for a moment. Sin and its consequences. For what purpose were all things created? Revelation tells us in chapter 4, verse 11. All things were created for God's pleasure. God made you for his pleasure. You are made for God. And the devil's been telling you you're no good. And the devil's been telling you you're no use. All things are made by him. All things were made for him. And without him, wasn't it anything made that was made? Jesus Christ in the beginning of the creation of God. The Lord loves you this morning. The Lord made you this morning. He's a plan for you. He's a purpose for you. He knew you before even you were born. Even before you were conceived in your mother's womb. Jesus Christ knew you.
Amen.
And he plans for you.
Yes.
And he's going to bring about them plans.
Amen.
Whom he did pre-know.
Yes.
Them he also did predestinate Amen. To become the sons of God. You were made for him. There's three things which God is worthy of in Revelation 4 and verse 11. He's worthy to receive all glory, all honor, and all praise. God is worthy to receive all glory. God is worthy to receive all honor. God is worthy to receive all praise. There's no man worthy to be praised.
Amen.
There's no man worthy to receive glory. Jesus Christ said of God, my glory I will not give till another. Every single place in this Bible for men looked at men or followed men or got their eyes on God. God dealt with them harshly. God rebuked them harshly. Satan was the one in the beginning that wanted to be like God. Satan wanted to be like God. Satan says, I will be like the Most High. You read it in the book of Isaiah. I will sit on the sides of the north. I will be like God. That's why he came down in the Garden of Eden. And Ezekiel tells us, thou hast been amongst the cherubims. Thou hast been amongst the stones of God. In the Garden of God. And he showed his seed vicariously via the serpent. Because he wanted a super race of people. A super generation. So that they would worship him. And so that they would praise him. And don't think the Antichrist. And he will sit in the rebuilt temple of God, supposing himself to be God. But I thank God there's a way of escape.
Amen.
From all sin. You know, we see the trait of Satan even in Hitler. Hitler was like what Satan had in his mind. Hitler played out the thoughts of his father, the devil. Because Hitler tried to produce a super race. Hitler made people come together. A man had to be a certain height. A woman had to be a certain height. Their hair had to be a certain color. If they didn't match them things, they were done away with and killed. Read the history and you know it's the truth. And God's prophet said he will die a mysterious ending. And he did. And they're having programs on today about how Hitler actually died. That's true. God dealt with him. I tell you, there's only one race that God's interested in. That's the race of his men and women that trust on the Lord. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's verse 17 say? For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's God's will for you to be saved. It's God's plan for you to be saved. Jesus Christ is your way. Jesus Christ is your hope.
Amen.
The only hope, but it's enough of a hope. Also we read in Romans 3 and 23. And we read Romans 3 and 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No man can sit and judge another man and say, you know, well, you did this and I didn't do that. And I never done this and I never drank and I never smoked. It'll make no difference. You're still lost.
That's right.
I don't care if you're seated as a lily. You're a sinner. You're a sinner by nature. You're a sinner by birth. Every man and woman is born in sin. They're born in shape and in iniquity. You know, old W.P. Nicholson told a story years ago. I love it. And he says, you know, him and his wife was cooking and they cooked some wee gingerbread man. How many's ever heard of the gingerbread man? Well, his wife cooked the gingerbread man. And they brought them out of the oven and they set the gingerbread man on the side and he says, you know, when tea time came round and they went to get some gingerbread men, a few of them was missing. And they asked wee Johnny, you know, and I maybe I'm not saying the right name, but it's just an example. If you're Johnny, don't take offense. But they said to wee Johnny, did you see where the gingerbread men went? And he said, no, Dad, I never saw them. And Mom, I never saw them. But wee Johnny's belly, he said, was all swelled out because wee Johnny's belly was filled with gingerbread men. And the moral of the story is, wee Johnny never needed nobody to learn him how to tell lies. He was able to tell his parents lies from a very young age because of his fallen nature, because he was born in sin, because he was sheep in iniquity. And the Bible says we came into the world speaking lies. That's why we have to have another birth. Second birth, a born again experience. All come short of the glory of God. Another thought from Romans 1 and 21, when men turned away from God, what were the first two sins that they committed? And if you read Romans 1 and 21, they didn't glorify God. And because they didn't glorify God, it's a sin, and they were unthankful to God. Man does not want to glorify God, and man is not thankful to God. God doesn't want us to worship some other man. God doesn't want us to be thankful to the Pope around the corner here, or some priest. But God wants us to worship him and him only. There's no room for the worship of another. He wants it all. Because he is God Almighty. The one and true wise God. You read also from verse 21 of Romans 1, what were the results of this? And because they didn't glorify God, and because they didn't give God no thanks, you know what the results were? They became vain in their imagination and the foolishness of their darkened heart. And because they didn't thank God, and because they didn't acknowledge God, they became vain in imagination and the foolishness of the heart. Doesn't Paul tell us in these last days, that's one of the signs of the end time, that men don't want to retain God in their knowledge. They don't want to retain God in their thinking, and men go with men and women with women, and the Bible says they work that thing which is unseemly in the sight of God, and God gives them over to a reprobate mind. And I tell you, it's a terrible condition. And people talk about, I was born with this gene, I was born with another gene, I couldn't help it. Every man and every woman is born with a gene called sin. And there's only one remedy for sin, and the doctor has no pills to cure sin, and the priest has no cures pills to cure sin. But there is a pill that cures sin. That's the gospel pill.
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is the pill we need that cures sin. The gospel.
Amen.
And it's the only cure for sin. Also, I want you to notice two facts about the human heart. It is deceitful. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 tells us this, that it is deceitful above all things and it is wicked. The heart of man's deceitful. The heart of man's wicked. Men will do things against a brother, against a sister, and they think not in heaven because they're wicked. Because man needs regenerating. He needs to be born again in the Spirit of God. He needs to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if we're saved and we're still mucking about, there's something wrong with our hearts, and we need to get our hearts checked with God. I thought it was tremendous what a brother Andrew Beecham said once when he came here. He was walking down the road and he said God spoke to him. He said the heart is not right. The trouble is with the heart. And I tell you, every one of us need to check the motives of the deep motives of our own hearts. What are the motives of our heart? Is the motives of our heart for the gospel? For the real truth?
Yes.
Is that the motives of our heart? Do you want to see your neighbor saved? Your children saved? Your brother saved? Your sister saved? We should have a heart for the lost. Jesus had a heart for the lost. The bride of Jesus Christ has to have a heart for the lost. Remember what God's prophet said. The rapture will not go until the last one comes in. Because God has a heart for the lost. And he wants to see the last one come in. That's going to come in. And I don't know who they are, but God knows. But my job's to try and reach them. As a brother mentioned, handfuls left on purpose.
Amen.
Jeremiah 17 and 9, who alone knows the truth about the human heart? Only the Lord God. God can see into your heart. God can see into my heart. If you're telling a story about somebody, God can see through it. God knows whether it's right. God knows whether it's wrong. If you're doing someone to sow discord, God knows what you're doing. He knows your heart. He sees your heart. You're full of nobody, only yourself.
That's right.
For God will search the heart. He will search the heart. He will try the heart.
Amen.
And see if it's pure before him. And I tell you, I believe it's free. Even when we're saved, we need to be careful how our heart is with God. We should love our brother. We should love our sister.
Amen.
We should pray one for another. What about the last commandment that Jesus gave? The 11th commandment. The prophet preached a whole sermon on it, on the 11th commandment. What is it? That you love one another.
Amen.
Love one another. You know, I believe a statement William Branham once said. He said, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything at all. He said, if you're going to give them a bunch of flyers, do it while they're living, not on the grave.
Amen.
Don't come on the grave, do it when they're living.
Amen.
I want you to notice also in Matthew 7, verse 21-22. I want you to see there's 13 evil things that come out of the human heart. In Matthew 7, verse 21-22. 13 evil things, that's a lot of things, isn't it? All from the heart. See, when the heart's not right, it produces these 13 things. It's evil. not right. The first one is evil thoughts. Evil thoughts come from the heart. The second one's adulteries. The third one's fornication. The fourth one's murders. The fifth one's theft. The sixth one's covetousness. The seventh's wickedness. The eighth's deceit. The ninth's lasciviousness. 10, an evil eye. 11, blasphemy. 12, pride. 13, foolishness. All from the heart. All these things come from the heart. That's why we need our heart changed. By the Spirit of God. We need to ask Jesus in our heart. That's the old gospel story, but it's true. You don't ask the Lord into your mind. You ask Jesus into your heart. He comes into the heart. And when he changes the heart, you'll be all changed. Because when the heart's changed, you're changed. But if the heart's not changed, you'll never be changed.
Glory. Amen.
Never can have your mind changed till your heart's changed. I want you to see also from James 4:17. We're able to do something good and we don't do it. What does God call it? God calls it sin. God calls it sin. I was listening to the sermon just yesterday. And on the sermon, there's a man that had lost his trailer. So in America, brother, so a trailer there, you live in it. Here, we wouldn't live in a trailer. You know, but the brother knows what I mean. How many knows what I'm saying? But this is just to tell you a story that's true. And Brother Branham comes to the platform. He says, I was arguing with Brother Neville. I wanted him to preach. He wanted me to preach. And, you know. And then he says, Brother so-and-so lost his trailer. It burned or something. They lost their trailer. And he says, several people have said they would help with the trailer. And Orman Neville gets up and they lift an offering. And he quotes this scripture. If you know your brother needs something, don't pray about it. Yes. Let's have the action.
Yeah.
What the? Oh God, bless your brother and give him a trailer. But if you've got the money to buy him a trailer, you're a hypocrite if you don't do it. Do you know that? I know it's quiet in here, but I'm preaching it anyhow.
Glory. Right.
I'm going to preach it.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Right.
If your brother's no coat and you've got two,
amen,
don't pray God give him a coat. You have the provision to give him the coat. Give him the coat. That's the gospel. The gospel's just not preaching and all them things. The gospel's actions as well. There's things we are called to do. We're not saved by works, but works follows the true Christian. The Christian will have works. Good works. Because he's a believer. And I thought that was someone Orman Neville said, we're lifting an offering right now. And they lifted the offering right for the condition. I know we've done it here as well. We have. But I'm just telling you it's the truth.
Amen.
I tell you, there's a lot of people, if they've seen you down and out, they'd almost break a bottle of champagne open, have a party. I met a man one day, and this man was from a certain organization, and he knew I used to work for him. He knew I was saved. He knew my testimony, how God delivered me from jail and the life I was living. And he said, my dad was with me. He was at a funeral. He says, well, he's still preaching. Now, he didn't want to hear that I'd been here and yonder preaching and people got saved and healed. He never wanted to hear that. He wanted to hear that I was no longer preaching. He wanted to hear we didn't have service here no more. He wanted to hear that I was back on the train, that I was down in the gutter, that I was some sort of a trump. That's what he actually wanted to hear, because his heart wasn't right. Even though he held the Bible and wore the suit and went to church, his heart wasn't right.
Amen.
How could his heart be right with thoughts like that? And I knew his thoughts. You know, he argued with me one day over the Bible, and I'm sharing this. So you know, when somebody's heart's not right, and you not know who I'm talking about, 95% of you won't anyhow. And I said, you know, Jonah was swallowed by a whale, and he says, that's nowhere in the Bible. I said, I thought, well, you were educated by the Word of God. I said, it's in it. Well, he argued with me. It says a great fish. I says, I know it is. So I knew where it was, but I didn't tell him. So I came the next morning on the dinner break with a Bible out. I was just a short time saved. And I opened it. And the Bible says Jonah was swallowed by a whale in another scripture. It says a great fish in one scripture, but another scripture says a whale. And his face went red. You see, when everybody went home that evening, I was working overtime. He says, I feel like smashing you of them walls. I says, the devil's felt like that for a long time. Amen? Now, there's no way a man's heart's right. If he's going to say, there's brother in the Lord, I want to smash you of the wall. You know, William Branham talked about that. He said, if your wife commits adultery and you're a real Christian, you will forgive her. But he says, if you're going to take a gun and shoot the man, your heart's not right. That's the natural love. That's not God's love. God's love goes beyond.
Amen.
What about Adam and Eve? Mm-hmm. Eve was defiant before Adam got to her. But Adam, being a type of Jesus Christ, took Eve.
That's right.
And Christ took us in our defilement on the cross. He took us in our sin. He took us the way we are. We don't clean up to come. We come as we are.
Amen.
And he takes us.
Yes.
Amen.
That's the love of God. Is your heart right? Now they were planning and preaching it like this, but this is how it's happening. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit. God knows the heart. Praise God. 1 John. We're able to do, it tells us in 1 John as well. I quoted you James 4:17, but 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 also speaks about it. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the truth's not even in us. So I've talked to people and they say, one woman said to me one day, I showed my wife and me ran into this woman. I've told stories about her for years. They're true. I don't mean it in a bad way. But I bumped into her one day with my wife. And I said, that's the woman. And she avoided me like a plague. But I was working in the bakery at the time. And she went over all how I got saved, and oh, it's wonderful, Tommy, and that's great. And she was warming up chocolate to put on all these buns, and that was a lot of buns, so it was a lot of chocolate. And she was melting the chocolate, and she's warming up the chocolate, and I told her how I got saved, and how the Lord spoke to me and dealt with me, and I felt convicted of all my sins, and I knelt down and asked the Lord to save me. And then she says to me, and then I say to her, you know, Jean, what about yourself? And she says, oh, Tommy, I never needed saved. I never sinned. And it just came out of my mouth. I couldn't help it. It just came right out. All our righteousness is filthy rags before God. And the next thing, the whole bucket of chocolate was over my head. She baptized me in chocolate. But I told her the gospel. And I saw her just a few days ago. This is almost 30 years ago. 1990, to be specific. And I saw her just the other day. And she avoided me like the plague. And she's still not saved. The policeman that came to my front door and arrested me lives just across from my father. I don't know if he still does, but he did. I wrote him a card from jail. And I met him several years ago. And he says, Tommy, I've still the card you wrote me from jail, and I've got saved.
Amen. Amen.
He got saved. And he wasn't saved then. And I wrote him and told him he needed to get saved. I said, I might be in jail, but I'm saved. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm sorry for my sins. I've turned to Jesus Christ. And I'm following the Lord. And I say, he knew this well. Even though you've never been a jailbird, you still need saved.
Amen.
John, 1 John chapter 1 verse 10 also tells us, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, for we've all sinned. And the text says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now if you go 5 and verse 12 and Romans 6 and 28 we read, there's consequences that sin brings upon man. And the consequence that sin brings upon man is death. Don't blame death on a disease. Don't blame death on the doctor. Don't blame death on anything. Only sin. Sin. Death has come about because of sin. And we're all sinners. So we're all guilty of death. That's why we need life. And that life was only found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him alone. Also, if you read Matthew 25, verse 41, and Romans 20, and verse 12 to 15, your brother put it up. What is the final end of all unrepentant sinners? There's an end for the unrepentant sinner. Not ends, hell's fire, the lake of fire, and the second death. People think, I'll get away with it. I'll get away with it. But you can't get away with it. There's a judgment day coming. You know how Romans 8 says there's no condemnation? That means no judgment to them that are in Christ. But what about those that's outside of Christ? It's the opposite to that. There is a judgment day coming for those that's not saved. That's why the preacher prays and waits on God. That's why he spends hours seeking God, praying that people will get saved. How, if your heart's right, would you want to see somebody getting sick, lost? Your heart couldn't be right. If we say we're the bride of Jesus Christ and have no vision for the lost, we cannot be the bride. It's impossible.
That's right.
Because the bride has to be like Christ.
Amen.
And Christ has a vision for the lost and a soul for the lost.
Amen.
And we have to have the same. And didn't Jesus say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Matthew 28. It says, for this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to save. I want you to notice also, and I won't take time, you can read those scriptures or mark them, but if you were to mark Revelation 21 verse 8, I want you to notice 8 different kinds of people who will go to the lake of fire. 8 different kinds of people. Now when you hear all these programs, excuse me, with people's opinion, that God won't judge them, let's check it with the Word of God and see. Here's 8 different kinds of people, the fearful. God does not want you to be fearful. If you're saved, don't be fearful. It's the devil that wants you to be fearful, not God. There's a godly fear, but a godly fear worketh repentance. But there's a fear of the enemy that seizes you, that binds you, that paralyzes you, and the Holy Spirit wants to break that from you. Number 2, the unbelieving. So the fearful of the lake of fire, the unbelieving. Number 3, the abominable. Number 4, the murderers. Number 5, the whoremongers. Number 6, the sorcerers. Number 7, adulterers. That's people that live together in sin and they're not married. The Bible calls them adulterers. Don't polish it. Don't pat it and, you know, try to make it nice. And, you know, that's just the day we're living in. It's just sin. It's adultery. There's no other way around it. And I tell you, it's something when God saves people from that, isn't it wonderful? And He can do it. All these conditions, all of us were guilty of them, and He saved us from them. Is that right? Number 8, all liars. All these conditions are for those that's going to take part in the lake of fire. Now I want you to see, and I've just been half an hour, just be a few more minutes. I don't want to hold you too long this morning. I want you to see the purpose of Christ's death and His resurrection. And if I don't finish this morning, we'll continue on this evening. How many is enjoying the Word of God?
Amen.
These scriptures are true.
Amen.
In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, what purpose did Christ come into the world? To save sinners.
Amen.
Though there's all these conditions, now every one of us is guilty. Some of us as policeman on one side, me on the other. My mother was there, and I told barefaced lies. But I wasn't serving the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you, when God changed me, I stood before a judge, and I told the truth, and I got jailed. I could have told a lie, and I wouldn't have got jailed, because they had no evidence against me. They had no evidence against me. It was about driving a car. You can't prove I was driving a car if it's tinted windows. How could you see the man that's in it? But my father said to me, I said, "Daddy, what am I going to do?" And he said, "You see this book? If you're going to live by this book, you know what you have to do." And I said, "Your Honor, I'm guilty." 3 months in the front of no jail, he said. My solicitor gave him a whole talk about I'd got religious, you know, his own words. And he says, "That would drive me up the wall 3 months." And I stood before the judge in the courthouse. Let me tell you this. And I said, "Your Honor, I'm guilty and willing to pay the penalty because I know I'm guilty. But Jesus Christ has changed me. I'm saved." And people wept in the courthouse and banned bread. But that old fella from Drumore will never tell that part. They'll tell bad news about you.
Yes.
Did you hear the meetings are not going well? Who is that? I'll tell you, there's nothing happening. What are you doing? What are you doing for God? If you're standing before God, what are you doing? God won't ask you what he or she done.
Amen.
He will say, "What are you doing, brother? What are you doing, sister?"
Amen.
How many tracts have you given out this year? How many souls have you led to Christ? Are you praying?
Amen.
A brother can't get the breakthrough. How many times have you prayed this week for the breakthrough? Come on. If you're sincere in prayer, you will get the breakthrough. But if you don't bother to pray, you won't. And I'm talking about praying in secret. I'm not talking about, you know, something for to get glory from somebody else. If you need a breakthrough, you need to get alone with God, into the secret place, into the closet. You need to be sincere. You need to close yourself in with God. I can guarantee you, God will meet you. Can't feel. He cannot feel. He can swear by no greater, so he swore by his own self that by two immutable things in which it's absolutely impossible for God to lie. What else? That we might have strong consolation.
Amen.
To lay hold upon the hope set before us. He wants to bring you bad news, doesn't he?
Yes.
You have vision to do something. Oh, brother, do you think it was God? Well, did the devil give you? Would the devil give you a vision to win souls? Never heard of it before. You know, when you get saved, when you really get saved, listen to me, young person, when you ask the Lord to save you, when you make the first decision to get saved, the next thing you will hear is, "You're not saved." But the devil never tells you that till you get saved. That's how you know you are saved. Because if he's telling you or not, whatever he says, he's a liar, the Bible says. But God's the truth. Now listen to me, and you can read Matthew 9, verse 13, or Luke 15, 2. Whom did Christ call? And whom did he receive? Christ called and received sinners. That's everybody. There's a chance for everybody. No preacher can get on a pulpit and say, "Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not for him and it's not for her." No preacher can do that. If he does, he's outside of God's will. The gospel's preached to every sinner. And God will save every sinner. And every one of these eight conditions, when all of us had, the Lord will forgive them.
Yes.
If we come to the Lord, he'll forgive them.
Amen.
David was an adulterer.
Amen.
David had a man killed. But the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he repented. He went to God and he wept and he realized he was wrong and he realized he was sorry and he said, "Lord, forgive me." And God sent a prophet down to him and said, "You're forgiven." God will forgive you. When you're forgiven of a load of sin, the weight lifts. The weight lifts. Brother, you'll no longer be under a burden. Jesus will lift your burden. He lifts your fear. He lifts your anxiety. He lifted away the wings of the great dove. Praise God. And you'll be free. One more verse and I'm going to hit the close. Now, if the Pope was here, I'd make him sit here and listen to this here. Did Christ himself commit sins? Hebrews 4:15, 1 Peter 2:22. For we are who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The Pope can't say that. There's not a man born of a woman outside of Jesus Christ that can make this statement. Not another man. People say to me, David failed. Yes. Moses failed. Should have spoke. He hit it. Everybody. There's not a man. Every one of them has failed. And I said to this one brother, praise God. And he said, why are you saying that? I said, it's there for a reason. Because there would come one born of a woman. There would come one born of a woman in the flesh that would overcome the flesh, that would never fail, that would never fall short, that would never sin. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he never failed, and he never sinned, and he's yours today if you only believe him. And you can put your 100% confidence in him. He'll not forsake you. He'll not leave you. But he'll save you. I'm going to have to stop. The time's gone. Let's stand our feet. Maybe the musicians could come. I hope God's challenged every one of us today. Saved and unsaved. I want every head bowed in this room, every eye closed. I want absolute reverence in this house. If you're in this service, now every head's bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to call nobody forward or anything like that. But if you really want saved, I want you to lift your hand now to the Lord. If you're in this service and you say, I want saved. You want to know Jesus as your Savior. Lift your hand up to the Lord. Don't let the devil hold you back. If you're sincere about it and you want saved, lift your hand up to the Lord. And maybe if you're here this morning and you're backslid, your heart's not right, I want you to lift your hand to the Lord. I want you to acknowledge. God bless you. And every eye closed, every head bowed, God bless you. And I want you to be sincere. I don't want you to say, God doesn't hear me if you're not praying. I want you to be sincere in prayer. And you really are sincere in prayer, God will do it. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you this morning for your precious word. We thank you that your word will not return void. We ask, Lord, that you'll move in men and women's hearts and you'll bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus Christ's name. Ask for the hands of priests, Lord. Lord, that you'll touch that brother in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take away the fear of man. Take away every snare of the devil. In Jesus Christ's name, visit with the brother, I pray. And all those that lifted their hands, visit with them. Minister unto them. By your Holy Spirit, by your word, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke the devil from off their lives this morning. Lord, I pray as well for those that need a touch in the body. They ask in the name of Jesus Christ. That you'll touch that brother, touch that sister, touch that boy, touch that girl, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we come to the close of the service, may you water this word by the sweet presence of your Holy Spirit, and may you do your people good, and we will be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory, in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. God bless each one. God bless you.
Let us sing that hymn.